Hello, I'm Fei Kwan, and you're watching It's About Youth, where we speak to Malaysia's younger generation on the issues that matter to them. Now, recently, Prime Minister Datuk Seri Anwar Ibrahim unveiled a new concept or slogan to guide his administration. It's called Malaysia Madani, and Madani as an acronym is meant to represent six core principles, namely sustainability, innovation, prosperity, respect, trust, and compassion or care. All of this is meant to bring the country forward. But what did the youth think about this, and are they ready to take on Madani? Here to discuss this further, we have with us Muhammad Faizal Abdul Aziz, the president of ABIM, the Muslim Youth Movement of Malaysia, as well as Alethea Wong, a policy researcher. Thank you for joining us on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Now, first and foremost, I have to ask the both of you, what is your understanding of Malaysia Madani, and what does Madani mean to you? Faizal, let's start with you.
Okay, first of all, thank you, Sister Faye and Awani, for having me to discuss on this very important topic, Membangun Malaysia Madani.
Yep.
It is one of the biggest agenda of the government nowadays. And not to forget my respected colleague, Sister Alethea Wong. Okay, in brief, what I can illustrate my understanding on Madani, it goes with in two parts. I mean, first in concept and second in practice. Conceptually, Madani derived from the words Madinah, means city.
Mm-hmm.
It was formed by Prophet Muhammad SAW right after Hijrah or migration of the Muslim from Mekah to Yathrib. One of the things that was done by Prophet Muhammad was to change the name of the place Yathrib to Madinah.
Mm-hmm.
So significantly, it means the vision of Prophet Muhammad to form one new society that were totally different from the one in Mekah, which has showcased the moral decay of the societies with infanticide,
mm-hmm.
degradation of women's status, in social injustice, indoctrination, and so on. So, Prophet Muhammad, when he arrived to Yathrib and he changed the name to the Madinah, and he forged a new communities, I could say the ideal communities called Madinah Society or Madani Society. So, with a lot of many noble values encapsulated under the Madani Society. Respect with dignity and getting all to be in one place, I mean, for the nation building. And more importantly, Madani for me is all about the unity as well, where historically speaking, it was the first in the historical period of time where the three major religions of the world, Islam, Christianity and also Judaism, can live happily, mm-hmm. harmonious way together in Madinah. So, what can we drive, we bring this Madani concept forward on how we as a multicultural and multiracial society in Malaysia, we forge our community as one single community with a cosmopolitan in nature, how do we bring the society forward? And in practice, as what was mentioned by you, practically speaking, Madani, they have six core values or visions, form the acronym of SCRIP, like you say, sustainability, care and compassion, respect, innovation, prosperity and trust. So
yeah.
We can visualize, envisage the practical side of Madani through these six core values.
Mm-hmm. So it's a very holistic approach towards the development of civil society in that sense. How about you, Alethea? What is Madani to you?
I think largely when we look at it from a policy perspective, whenever there is a new administration or new government, when they come in, they have this tendency to launch a narrative or concept they would like to bring forward.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, Madani is no different for Dato' Sri Anwar, which is what essentially is what he wants to be remembered as a prime minister coming into his term.
Mm-hmm.
I think Saudara Faizal shared a lot in terms of what Madani meant in terms of what's being transpired. But largely, when we look at it from a policy perspective, in hopes, I really hope that it goes beyond rather than just a slogan.
Yeah.
Because when we look at how, when it's conceptualized, it's intended for it to be a policy framework. And I do hope that it goes through as such.
Mm-hmm.
But personally for me, I think apart from what has been written in script itself or Madani itself, what the six core values are, I think what goes beyond further for me is that as a youth, I really hope that what Madani could mean for us is that in time to come, there will be equitable and fair allocation of resources and wealth from the country that can be spread throughout various society within Malaysia, regardless of race, religion, income, class, social, economic, demographic, and that everyone will have a fair chance within the system itself.
So it's very nice to hear there's a sense of hopefulness for
yes,
more inclusivity.
Yes.
And that's your take, but to sort of gauge the overall response to this concept, Faizal, what would you say is the youth sentiment towards Madani? Are they on the fence? Are they behind it? Are they rejecting it?
Okay, right after the announcement of Madani by Prime Minister during the launching event in Putrajaya, I could see there are a lot of articles, writings written by many segments of society, especially the youth, on Madani. So, in other words, it shows the interest of the people, not only to understand Madani, but they want to contribute, I mean, through their own perspective, what they want to bring this society forward through this framework of Madani. So, for us, government need to leverage this momentum. And of course, government need to do more town hall, for example, or any platform engagement to engage with all segment of society. And of course, because when you ask about youth, this is what we as youth have been talking about. The government knows best, it's over. But of course, it is commendable. Government has rights, and also they are obliged to have framework policies. But of course, we need to have more inclusive, meaning to say more engagement in terms of idea. And also the aspirations of the youth, especially how do we drive the society forward through this script or Madani policies. Otherwise, if our aspiration is not forthcoming, so maybe it will become irrelevant if they fail to engage with, especially the youth, CSO, youth NGO, student leaders, university and so on.
Yeah, I have a question about that actually, engagement, right? Because as you've mentioned, Madani is not a new concept. And in the context of Malaysia, Anwar Ibrahim has brought it up himself back in the 90s. But 20 to 30 years later, Alethea, would you say this framework is still relevant to the today's youth?
I think when we look at the six core principles, I think these are very good values that cannot be faltered across time. You know, sustainability, innovation, these are still very much so good values that we uphold till today. So regardless, is it 20 or 30 years ago, I think the core principles are still something that we still very much so need in a society. But what makes the difference between 20 years ago when Dato' Sri Anwar was then Deputy Prime Minister and now, I would say it really lies within the policy implementation. And really the devil is in the details, right? I think what the government really needs to do is that when they look at the policy implementation, they have to look at what can really capture the imagination of the youth, right? So when we talk about some of these youth issues being faced by the public, we have to really think about what are some of these creative solutions that we can have to really ensure that the youth stay engaged. So that's the first thing. The second part is that after the implementation part, the government has to really go forth and start communicating with the public what are some of these things that have been done by the government, and therefore the political communication and policy communication by the government has to really step up. And especially we're in an age where everyone's a digital consumer. You know, social media is a digital tool. The government really has to think about how do we leverage on such platforms to really engage with the youth on such issues.
And you've brought this up. We all know here that it's customary for a new prime minister now to introduce a new slogan when they start their tenure and to mark the beginning of their administration. We've seen One Malaysia, most recently Keluarga Prihatin, Keluarga Malaysia. But how do you think Madani differs from Anwar Ibrahim's predecessors? Faizal, would you like to take this?
Yeah, my hope also, it should not be remain as just a slogan. But I do believe it has something, I mean, not just mere slogan, because first in concept, I mean, because actually it has strong foundation. It was addressed by many scholars, not only for decades, but also 400 years ago, like Ibn Khaldun, Al-Farabi, even Said Najib Al-Attas, the current scholars also, many people talk about this ideal society, how we can be inclusive in terms of upholding the society with many diverse clan or even political ideologies, religions and races to bring forward. But more importantly, for me, in order to drive this Madani forward, for me, people empowerment matters. I saw the speech of the Prime Minister during the launching of this Madani. He mentioned his vision about the people empowerment. I mean, how to empower the people to the extent of getting away people from the syndrome of dependency. And of course, in whatever policies that you want to bring forward, you need to have this kind of people empowerment. People need to be empowered in the first place, and that's why we need to have a new narrative. I mean, both political leaders and also people need to join hand in hand how to have a new narrative of people empowerment. For example, political leaders, they need to echo with what Prime Minister want to do. I mean, they should not lead. I mean, they should not leave the people to live in a or to keep in abject poverty, so that every 5 years they can condescendingly give aids or cash to the people because of this syndrome of dependency. And same goes to people. Yeah, of course, there are still segment, still one or certain segment of people need cash. For example, people who live in rural areas, farmers and so on, who become the victim of this climate change. Mm-hmm. They cannot go, I mean, to work to get money for living. Of course, they need some cash. But in the long run, they need to be, I mean, they need to have more sustainable policies in terms of economic affairs, so that when people is empowered, so we can encourage them to subscribe this idea of Madani.
Yeah, that is one of the aims of Madani, right? To eradicate poverty, hopefully, in the coming years. Mm-hmm. We'll dive a bit deeper into that, but first let's go for a quick break. Stay with us. Welcome back to It's About Youth, where today we're talking about Malaysia Madani, Prime Minister Datuk Seri Anwar Ibrahim's new concept for the country. Joining us, we have Muhammad Faisal Abdul Aziz, the President of the Muslim Youth Movement of Malaysia, as well as Alethea Wong, a policy researcher. Now, previously, we got their take on the Madani concept and its relevance to the youths. But going deeper into this, because there's many layers to Madani, at first glance, it appears to be a very ambitious concept that aims to achieve a lot of things to bring the country forward. Faisal, if we were to break it down, where do you think we should start? What issues matter to the youth most?
Okay, if you look at the this sixth vision, of course, the utmost priority is sustainability, especially in terms of economic affairs, because now we believe, of course, we know the pressing issues that encountered by people is about the cost of living or economic affairs of the society. And of course, when we talk about sustainability, I just read through the part of sustainability in terms of economic affairs where it was stated the vision to abolish certain regressive tax or incentive that allow businesses to pursue these unsustainable goals and instead replace with sustainable tax, I mean, related to issue of climate change, social justice and so on. So it's all about sustainable in terms of between human beings and nature, and also about the human beings itself. I mean, the poor and the rich, how do we get away from, you know, the concept of enriching the rich and empowering the poor. So this is a main issue, because as I said just now, if we manage to uphold the people empowerment, especially in terms of economic affairs, so we will, or we may encourage them to jump into other values like care and compassion, trust, innovation and so on. So first thing first is bread and butter. How do we, come with more sustainable policies to answer that problem?
Like addressing economic affairs first before, so then people will have the time to take their attention towards other moral values that make up Madani. And you're right that currently the youth are plagued with unemployment, inflation and the rising cost of living. Alethea, how do you see the core principles of Madani trickling down towards policies that can help resolve these issues?
I think in the first place, when we talk about the six core principles, it's designed to work in tandem. But of course, I think personally for me, I do favour one over the other, which is the trust element. I think, you know, I I'm fairly young, I would say, and I think when I first got involved in politics or have an understanding of politics, we live in a time where much of what we know about current affairs is largely rampant with corruption over last few years, mm-hmm. and not forgetting some of the political maneuverings we have over the years. So largely, I think among the youth, there is a trust deficit, be it towards the government or towards the system, right? So for this to work, I think largely the government has to restore that trust element amongst the public first. You know, have that trust within the public that the public system works, the government can deliver what it says. Have trust in the leaders that what they say is true, is genuine, is sincere, that they will hold up to what they say they will do, which is, it seems likely we are moving in a reform direction, right? So that's one thing. But largely when it comes down to some of these key issues such as unemployment and rising cost of living, I think the government, after this, will have to start really ironing out the details in the policy. Perhaps I understand that maybe it's still a bit premature because the concept is still launched, quite new. And we usually give as a policy researcher, we usually give the governments the first 6 months, the benefit of the doubt for them, a bit of time to figure out their footing in the government. Mm-hmm. So I think it's still a bit early, but really I think what the government needs to do after this, once they've launched Mandali, is that they have to start ironing out the key steps to move towards that goal. I know Dato' Sri Anwar in the book, he has ironed out some grand visions that he has in the book, but I think we haven't really seen how he intends to get there yet. In terms of policy direction, we still have to see whether the government is a left-wing government or right-wing government. Mm. Do they side the corporates or do they side the families, so and so. So I think some of these things really have to be fleshed out by the government. And I think what would be very exciting is that in a couple of weeks' time, Budget 2023 would really be the first signal from the government in terms of how they intend to handle these issues. But of course, I think some ministers have come out to give some press statements, but I think really the first test would be, you know, the budget, and that's where we really see what are the concrete steps taken by the government and where they put, you know, their words at and to
where
action.
Where their priorities lie.
Correct,
right?
Correct.
I think it's important because there is a sense of people are quite cynical towards our administration, especially with the multiple changes in the last few years. Mm-hmm. And it's coming back to that message of moving beyond the slogan, right?
Yes.
Also with politics in the recent 15 general elections, we saw the heavy use of identity politics to mobilise voters. But under Madani, Anwar Ibrahim has pledged to get rid of racism. It's a long-standing issue in Malaysia. Yes. Alethea, how do you see this playing out then?
I think identity politics, much Malaysians would know that is something that is very rampant in Malaysia. Mm-hmm. But when we look at it from a global perspective, it's not something that is just unique to Malaysia. We see it in the rise in the US, in many continents across the world as well. And largely, we don't expect politicians to consciously or unconsciously stop using identity politics anytime soon. And I think this is where really the concept of Madani literally itself comes into the picture, is that I think the public has a role to play. As much as we expect the government to do a lot of things to fight systemic racism, I think at a community level, the onus is really on individuals like you and I, myself, to really play a role in, you know, try to work towards to that goal together.
Yeah.
Because I think as much as the government has a lot of role to play, I don't think the burden solely relies on the government itself. I think the public like us, the onus is really on us to how do we, you know, educate ourselves, identify what are some of the narratives being used by irresponsible politicians,
mm-hmm.
And really try to see through the narratives that is being played up by them, and really have to have that critical thinking when these narratives are being thrown at us. But of course, I think the government has to do, government of the day have a lot more to do to step up in terms of countering this narrative. You know, they have a lot of resources now that they are government. I think they have a lot more to do to really fight identity politics.
Mm-hmm. And the first part of your point really comes back, it ties back to people empowerment, which Faisal has been talking about.
Yep.
Is there anything you'd like to add on this?
Yeah, I think we need to have a new kind of policies. I mean, stop looking at the problem through the box of races.
Mm.
Because, I mean, when we talk about poverty, when we talk about gangsterism or corruption, it's all about Malaysian problems. So every race or religions need to join hand in hand to genuinely tackle this issue or problem. So we should not just per se leave this problem through the context of races. So that's how we can get away from this identity politics gradually.
An all of society yes. approach, which we talk about a lot. And do you think we've been harping on about these six core pillars of Madani? Do you think they are sustainable as to the first acronym of Madani? Is it really something to carry us through the next 5 years, Faisal?
Yeah, first, as I said, it must be implemented in stages. Yeah, of course, the current pricing issue about economy and cost of living. And also, I echo with LTI about the trust, because for these decades, we can see the issue of mistrust. I mean, people don't trust the government as compared to maybe before the social media environment in 1990s and so on. So this is important to have more or to gain trust from the people. So, and yeah, of course, the first step of the government now, people or all eyes now is on the budget. How Dato' Sri Anwar table very concrete and very inclusive budget, and not only short-sighted but also for the long term of this country. So that one of the things that can gain trust of the people, because trust is very important. If we look at the website Trust Element Barometer, it shows the I think 4 or 5 things that government need to do to gain trust. One of the things is all about the long term empowerment of the people, so that people will have more trust on the political leaders.
Right, and on that note, when we look at something long term, I would like to ask you, where do you envision Malaysia to head towards in the next 5 years, and where do the youth stand among this? Alethea, let's start with you.
I think when we talk about 5 years, I think I'm not sure how much can be done within 5 years, but you know, I do believe it's quite substantive. I think personally for me, in 5 years' time, assumingly general election is the benchmark that we're looking at in terms of the timeline. I think largely when we go into the next 5 years or preparing for a potential, maybe, I'm not sure, a change in or a leadership or whatever, I think what my hope is that I hope that by then the system would be equipped enough to withstand these changes. Largely what we're talking about is that many reforms need to come through. So assumingly parliament reforms need to come through, electoral reforms need to come through. I hope that by then, in 5 years' time, maybe we won't be able to get all of it done. I would hope that part of it is a portion of it is enough to be done, so that by then, if youth wants to enter the ecosystem, we would be given a fair shot at it. You know, in other words, it's basically leveling out the playing field, right? So, for example, parliament reforms need to come through to ensure that check and balance is in place, to ensure that some of these policies that government talks about for the youth, that youth has a chance at, you know, be a check and balance towards those things that the government has said through, and it can only be done through parliament. Right, so largely I would think that, you know, in 5 years' time, I really, really hope that the institutional reform is being done, so that, you know, youth will give a equal opportunity at it.
And to ensure that the youth have a seat at the table when it
Correct.
Comes to creating all these policies as yeah. well, right? And you, Faisal?
Yeah, in terms of long-term policies, yeah, I think we need to learn from our neighbouring country, Indonesia. And I do believe this Madani concept also has some influence on the visit of our Prime Minister to Indonesia. Because, Indonesia now, under the Jokowi leadership, with the certain reform agenda, decentralization of power, they become more stable, and they can come with a more stable or sustainable vision for Indonesia. And one of the biggest thing about IKN, Ibu Kota Nusantara, which will give more or big impact for the economic, for the Indonesian people.
Yeah.
So, but in Malaysia, we just, you know, getting away from this political crisis, political turmoil. We rapidly changed our prime minister before, pre-general election. And in fact, actually, Indonesia also experienced the same thing. Post-reformasi, they changed leaders rapidly from Suharto to B.J. Habibie, and then to Gus Dur, to Megawati, to Susilo Bambang, you know, and then now to Jokowi.
Yeah.
So I think that's what our Prime Minister, not only Prime Minister, but we as Malaysian, we wish for. We need to learn from Indonesia how they can stabilize their country. And more importantly, stability through this reform agenda, decentralization of power. give people more mandate and power to voice up, to be part of the nation building, and so that we can have more sustainable policies for the benefit of our country.
That's very interesting, learning for our neighbours. Well, here's hoping for a better, more inclusive Malaysia in the future. Thank you so much for joining me today. I've been speaking to Muhammad Faisal Abdul Aziz and Alethea Wong. And thank you for watching It's About Youth. I'm Fei Kwan. See you next time.